Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you once again. Thank you for staying tuned and tuning in. If you've joined me from 5 a.m., you know that it's been back-to-back heated conversations here on the Morning Crossfire. We are into the last 1 hour of the show this morning, and I bid you welcome if you're just tuning in, though. Regardless, you're still in for a good time. But before we get into our conversation on Momo and the rest of them, this morning, today is Wednesday, so we've got the treasure hunt up again for you today. If you like to go and hunt for something, it's time for you to go and hunt right now. So you're looking for a picture of 100 naira notes. A picture of 100 naira notes. That is what you're looking for on our mobile app. If you've got our mobile app, open it right now and start searching. Look for a clickable picture of 1,000 naira, not 100 naira. Hey, please, no vex. 1,000 naira note. Thank you. Best of luck to you. Once you find the 1,000 naira note, click on it. Something will pop up. Input your details. The first person to complete the entire process wins 5,000 naira. This morning. Alrighty. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Nice to meet you. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right. On Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 is what you need to search for. Over the weekend, the Director General of the Nigeria Institute of Leather and Science Technology, NILEST, Zaria, Professor Muhammad Yakubu, said the consumption of animal skin or cowhide, known as pomo, is partly responsible for the dwindling unconscious sleepy state of tanneries in Nigeria. And therefore, Nigerians should be stopped from eating pomo in order to boost the nation's economy. After all, pomo has no nutritional value, according to him. In his words, let me quote what he said. He said, and I quote, "To the best of my knowledge, Nigerians are the only people in the world that overvalue skin as food. After all, pomo has no nutritional value. At one point, there was a motion before the two chambers of the National Assembly. It was debated, but I don't know how the matter was thrown away. If we get our tanneries, our footwear, and leather production working well in Nigeria, people will hardly get pomo to buy and eat. When implemented fully, it would turn around most of our comatose tanneries and ginger greater output in production." That's what he said. Now, NILEST, if you're wondering, was set up to promote leather production as provided for in the Agricultural Research Institute Act of 1975. The institute conducts research and the production and products of leather and the utilization of local tanning materials in the country. Now, when he made this statement over the weekend, it generated quite a lot of buzz online, offline, on the radio, across the media platforms. People have been talking about it. We even discussed this yesterday on the show. But this morning, we are digging deeper into our conversation this morning on this, because I have joining us on the show this morning is someone, a stakeholder in that field. Abacha Ali Jarawa, engineer, by the way, is the general manager of Borno Plastic Company. He joins us via the telephone this morning. Engineer Abacha, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning.
It's good to have you here. Now, let's start with your own reaction to the proposed. I mean, it's not banned yet. We don't even have a law yet that's banning pomo, but there's a move to have a law to push to the National Assembly proposing the ban, a nationwide ban on pomo's consumption of pomo, or conversion of skins, high cow hides to pomo for human consumption. What's your thought on this?
Well, good morning, and thank you very much for inviting me to this show this morning. As you rightly introduced me, my name is Abacha from Maiduguri. I'm a general manager of Borno Plastic Company and also have worked in the field of the tannery industry in Borno State last year. So actually, the leather industry is the biggest industry after the crude oil industry, after the oil industry.
Oh.
Leather is very expensive in Europe. And in Nigeria, we are also blessed. Some part of Nigeria, we are also blessed with cattle. That's the sole raw material for the skin, which is being later being processed to FOMO. So the consumption of FOMO, actually, I have seen how the consumption of FOMO collapsed an industry in Borno State. We have a tannery here. I'm just giving a very typical example.
Okay.
A very big tannery, food, and a very big combined tannery and shoe manufacturing factory here called the Nekal Shoe Factory. This particular factory is being set up together with the Borno State abattoir in the 70s. So this particular abattoir is just positioned just right beside the tannery so that because of the supply chain, use of transportation, and considering other things, attributes as well associated with the supply chain. So this particular slaughterhouse is supposed to supply the tannery with skin, and then we process into leather, and then the leather and other leather allied products will also be processed in the shoe manufacturing plant.
Okay.
So the factory, all businesses have business budgets and preferences. So this particular tannery, last year I worked there, and we have a budget of 9,000 naira to procure a large size skin.
Okay.
Height. So the consumers of FOMO are competing with that particular factory.
Oh.
To the extent that we couldn't get a single skin to supply that particular factory, because the consumers of FOMO come all the way from Lagos and they offer 15,000 to 20,000 naira for same size skin that we're supposed to process into leather products.
Let's go back again, Engineer Bacha. The tannery wanted to purchase the hide for 9,000 naira, a particular size.
Yes.
Then consumers of Pomo from Lagos, marketers, sellers of Pomo from Lagos, came into town and offered 20,000 naira.
Yes, Pomo brokers, they offered 15,000 to 20,000 naira, ranging within for that. So you see, the consumer, the sellers of that particular thing, even though the slaughterhouse is being owned by government, but the logic of the business is that the government should set an infrastructure for the processing.
Okay.
Yes, for the processing of a meat to control the quality, for quality assurance of the food supply into the society.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, ordinary people take their animals to that particular slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouse, they pay the taxes and other necessary charges by the government, and then they sell their products.
Okay.
So they are always looking for the highest bidder. This is business. Because for their own relentless search for the highest bidder, they kick us out of business. And then the consumers of FOMO, for example, even though it's not being widely consumed in this part of Nigeria, very few people consume FOMO here in Nigeria. So here in Maiduguri.
Okay.
So we are kicked out of business, certainly, because we cannot compete with them. And then for the business of the leather, if we purchase that particular skin at that price, then we will be not meeting our target of profit. So I think the ban on consumption of that FOMO will help a lot of industries grow in the country, not just Maiduguri. A lot of tanneries are there in other part of Nigeria. And then I tell you, today, 1 square foot of a skin height will cost of processing it is less than 600 naira. But if you take it out to Europe, you can sell it ranging from $8 to $20. It's a very high profit business.
Mm. So I want to talk to you about, you know, businesses and hides and skin in Nigeria or in Europe, because there's this argument that if other industries can bring in their raw materials in, you know, making their industries function, why do we need a law to support the tannery industry in Nigeria? Why can't we allow the market forces to determine that? If you want to be making shoes or leather products, why can't you import, you know, your raw materials? Is this a logical argument?
No, this is not a very logical argument. Because, you see, Nigeria is suffering from a very serious economic crisis. You have seen the recent resurging decline in the value of Naira. This is as a result of high imports. The government cannot support any policy that will increase our own imports, because we need to increase our own GDP in the country so that our currency will be up and performing. So, and this will later on result in a very reasonable standard of living for the citizenry of this country. So it's not good to allow companies to import raw material for the leather industry. We have the raw material here. We have over 70 million cattle in northern Nigeria alone. So this is a basic raw material. And you need to understand something. The quality of the skin here is different from the quality of the animal skin in Europe. This causes trading. This is the reason for the trading.
Okay.
For example, now in the sub-Saharan African region, in the Sahel, sub-Saharan African sub-region, the cattle in this particular area have a very slim, very thin cross-section area of the skin. This makes the skin the most favorable material for leather jackets, for belts, for wristwatch bands. But the skin in Europe, because of the animal have very high fat content, the cross-sectional area is about 10 times thicker than the one we have here. They can never use that particular skin for making leather jackets. Or wristwatch or belt or bag. So they can only use their skin for salt, leather salt. So that's why they have to import from us and then to power their own industries. Last year I was in Turkey, and then I was in Gebze. Yes, the place is called Gebze. They have a lot of tanneries in that industrial estate, over 500 tanneries in industrial estate. And they import, they told me, they import over 7 million leather every month from Nigeria. From every year, 7 million hides from Nigeria.
From Nigeria alone?
From Nigeria alone. They import it every year.
And this is in Turkey?
Yes, Turkey. They import. They seriously import. I was Konya also. Konya Chamber of Commerce. They call it the TCO. That's the Konya Sikaret or Dasi. And then the Istanbul also, Musiat. The Musiat is a joint venture business of Turkish government with a turnover of over $17 billion and over 50,000 businesses. They are seriously into leather business as well. So they import a lot from Nigeria. So this exportation will increase our GDP. And then the consumers of FOMO also. What happened is that the brokers of that particular promo that purchased, so that have the purchasing power.
Yeah.
But, and then as human beings, you see, food is almost is priceless. You understand? And people can buy food at almost every cost.
Any price.
Any price. Because it's a something of a interest, something of a choice, something of a desire. You understand? Even though society is arranged a level of varying prestige, power, and privileges, not all everybody is to consume almost everything.
Right.
So, yeah. So, but banning of that particular for more consumption, I think it will have a very less economical effect. Maybe some people will be frustrated. It's just like your favorite restaurant is shutting down. You get frustrated. Then we just have to discipline ourselves and then try to also leave.
Engineer Bacha, we're going to take a few calls here from people with your submission about the economic impact, you know, of banning pomo in the long run. and how it may boost income, you know, for local businesses and the rest of them here in Nigeria. Let's get some thoughts in on this topic. Then maybe you can answer some questions as well. 0700-993-993-993. That's studio line this morning. That's 0700-993-993-993. Feel free to share your thought this morning. I have a stakeholder here who is into tannery. That's a leather skin hide business. Who is also the general manager of Borno State Plastic Company. He is joining us all the way from Maiduguri this morning via the telephone. Your questions for him, please feel free to go straight into your question. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, miss. Good morning to you.
Yes. I am listening to you on this talk about Pomo and banning Pomo and producing it for exports. Hello?
Yes, go on, please. We're listening to you, sir.
Yes. If the demand is so much that we need to export, why don't we increase our production? And the fact that these people have been passed billing on is that Pomo is of no nutritional value. That's a lie. Go and Google it. Pomo has nutritional, it has a lot of fiber, it has protein. It is a poor man's only hope. Why are you taking it away? Increase your production if you want to make more money. What about all the things that have been produced in Nigeria that are not making money for Nigeria? Is this another avenue for corruption? Increase production. That's what I think. My name is Ben Oyibo.
Mr. Ben, thank you so much for sharing your thought. Engineer Abacha, let me come to you on the first part of his thought about increasing production. Instead of banning, it's increasing production of, rearing of cattle in this case, animals. Is that not a better option?
Well, there you see, there is something that is called the economics of care. And then there is always a constraint in almost every business you do. So if you compare, you see, it's numerically insignificant for as far as the economic indices is concerned to consume that pomo within Nigeria. Even if you can increase the production, we have a limited number of cattle, and then this particular cattle is a living thing, it's an animal. Increasing its own production is not as easy as producing, for example, if you are producing a 1,000 shoe per day in your factory, it is your capacity to 3,000 the next day by of course increasing the number of equipment and other things. In the animal world, it's not like this. In the animal world, this animal have to reproduce, and then how do you increase the population? You cannot import more animals to this particular region because they have been acclimatized to this environment. There is a climatic effect. That's why we have more goats in the northern part of Nigeria than the south, because the humidity is very high in the south, and then they die of pneumonia. You cannot, for example, say, let me increase the production of goats in Akure, and then I'll decide to send a hell lot of trailer of goats to Akure. They will not survive. So increasing the number of this the production is possible, but it's not as easy as we thought. It's also a long-run plan. It's a long-term plan. Even now, people, these animals keep reproducing, people keep buying them, increasing the number of their herds and all this and that. It's not easy. But even if we increase the production, for example, now we have 140 million cattle, we are still better off to export than to consume it because it improves the economy.
Let me ask you this question before our break is almost here. Almost. But let me put in this question at this juncture. Just hold on to the question. When we return from the break, then you now respond to it. And that question is that there is this talk about it's a systemic way to economically disenfranchise business of the South in favor of business of the North. Because when the state has the instrument of the law to place a ban on pomo consumption here, automatically some businesses will suffer in the South, while those in the North would benefit immensely, you know, from it. I want to get your thoughts on that, Engineer Abacha. But let me quickly take, let's go on a break, a short break. When we return, we'll talk some more. Lagos, please stay here with us. It's the Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info 90. 99.3. We'll be right back. I have Engineer Abacha on the show this morning. He's a stakeholder in the tannery leatherhide industry, all the way from Maiduguri. He joins us via the telephone. We'll be right back. And we're right back on the crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you. Oh, my lights are blinking. And I know you've got one question or the other for my guest this morning. If you are just tuning in, you're welcome to the show this morning. We're talking the proposed ban on consumption of pomo in Nigeria. I've got Engineer Abacha Ali Jarawa, the General Manager of Borneo Plastic Company, on the show this morning. Engineer Abacha, thank you again for joining us on the show today. Now, if we may, let's delve into the question I asked before we went on the break. Like, there's that interpretation of this proposed ban as to, you know, the plan to economically deprive the South in favor of the North. How do you see this?
Well, there is a very business trading between the northern and southern part of Nigeria in terms of commodity, and the variance due to geography, this triggers the trading between the north and the south. For example, we are south from the northern part of Nigeria, import a lot of products from internal importation from the southern part, and then the protein supply of Nigeria also mostly come from the northern part, that beans and then meat. Of course. So I don't think this will seriously affect the stability of businesses in the southern part of Nigeria, because the pomo is just one recipe or what will I call the meal. And then not everybody, because pomo is not on a daily basis, and then I think businesses will still thrive even if the pomo is being banned. The pomo brokers are the same people that are going to export this particular scheme. The pomo brokers, instead of selling it to restaurant owners, they will just export it. So the business will still be stable, and then the southern part of southerners in Nigeria also will also outsource for this particular scheme and export instead of consuming. So I don't think it will affect businesses. The only people that will be affected are the people that are addicted to pomo. And I don't think pomo can addict. But as far as food is concerned,
you don't think it's addictive?
I don't think, because additive things contain caffeine and so many things. There are listed chemicals that can cause addiction in the brain. Mm. So, but of course, if your favorite restaurant is shutting down, you'll be frustrated. So I think the government can make some arrangement, or families will make a kind of rehabilitation arrangements to control themselves from consuming pomo.
Okay, let's head to the telephone line now and take some more calls in 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. I'm going to come to you after a few calls, and we'll talk about ranching and how ranching can help in increasing production of skins and hides that would be enough for this purpose. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Please, my name is Toyin.
Welcome.
Please, am I on to...
Yes, you're live on the radio. Yes.
Okay. Please, I just want to ship in my little...
Please, opinion. Go on.
You know, Nigerians, I believe that it is time for us to wake up if we really want to develop. There is no... The mentality of believing that we can eat our cake and have it, we must do away with it now, if we really want to move forward.
Mm.
What we are discussing about this morning is very, very interesting. I've heard about it, and I've had contribution of somebody that I've called earlier,
okay,
and even the contribution of your guest. I really believe that at this point, we need to deny ourselves some things,
okay,
most especially things that can contribute to our growth in Nigeria. If pomo is something that we need to do away with in order to have a little industrial revolution in the area of leather production. I think we can sacrifice it. If you look at every developed nation in the world, there was a point in their life that they began to take decisions of doing away with some things and sacrificing some things in order for them to move forward. Please, with the economy value, as explained by this man that he's talking, that Mr. Abacha, this morning, I think it is something that we can do away with in eating pomo, even to turn that sector around for better development in Nigeria, for better industrial revolution, and even some other areas too. We can look inward, what we can develop in order for us to move forward. Look at the example of Turkey that he just gave.
Right.
Can you imagine the number of employment that will have generated in Turkey? And most of us here, we are using Turkey shoe, yeah. Turkey belt and right. the bags here. Right. If we can do that, even if it's in only one state, and we begin to use it in Nigeria as a whole, that thing we have, it will add a better value to Nigeria. Please. Thank Let's you. Encourage it, and God will bless Nigeria in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Let's take another call. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Jennifer.
You're welcome. Like you're welcome.
Okay, so, well, my take on this for more or even inside the letter. So what I would say is, I do not think stopping the consumption would be the solution. However, what we should think about is having a way to, you know, rear more cattle in order to obviously cater to everyone. So those that consume and those that want to use it for the leather production.
Right.
So there was something he said this week. I know the guest said something about those people that they are set.
Jennifer,
don't
we're
consume
losing.
For more like sit on the street.
Oh, Jennifer. Jennifer, your line is quite unstable.
Okay, sorry, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
So that's somebody's business you're about to stop. I mean, I don't see the person that has been selling for more now just going to leather business. I don't see that happening, okay? So that's a different trade. So why not we think of, you know, having a case where we're raring enough to cater to those that consume, as well as those that want to use it for the leather business and export it or whatever. Okay. I don't think it's a case of, let's stop it. I mean, Momo is not my best, you know, meal or whatever, meat to eat or whatever. I really don't care for it. But there are some people that doesn't even know what they can afford.
Right.
Because it's more or less one of the cheapest, you know, meat, so to speak, to eat.
Right.
So I think what we should be thinking of is how to rear more, think of how to get more places, more grazing land, more, you know, fields or whatever, that we can raise and rear as much cattle that will be enough for everyone to go around, whether consumption, whether for leather production.
Or for trading. Jennifer, thank you. And that would lead me to ask that question regardless. Then, Engineer Abacha, you can respond to the two callers. And my question is ranching. Instead of total and outright banning or prohibition, how about the plan to massively establish ranches in the northern part of the country that can quickly, if we have good, you know, well-functioning ranching system, within 2-3 years, we should be self-sufficient if we say that we want to be exporting, you know, skins and hides for trading purposes. I mean, what exactly do you suppose that we do, taking into cognizance what Jennifer just said as well?
Jennifer also makes some points. And for example, one point she made is that she didn't see people that used to do promo broadcasts that supply restaurants with that particular product going into leather business. Well, actually, they can swing into the leather business because that promo is not processed. It's a raw animal skin, raw. So after being tenderized, then it becomes promo. So they can get the raw skins and also export it. And then almost every changes you make in terms of policy in business will affect some businesses as well. A lot of businesses have been affected. So ranching, you see, the question is that how many states do we have? How many cattle do we have? And then you know, there is a very serious monopoly in that particular cattle business.
Oh.
Because, for example, there is a very serious monopoly. Look, animal rearing is a local business. I tell you here, even within the Maiduguri, families, the address of certain breed of cattle, they never give out their cattle. They will never allow also to mix up your cattle with their own.
You know, Engineer Abacha, I was going to ask you that question, and I'm very grateful that you've mentioned it, that are there different species of cattle? And
Different species.
Do they have different texture of skins and hides? And does that also affect the value and the market prices?
There are different species of cattle. For example, now, there is an international cattle crossing route in Borno State that allows the movement of cattle into the cattle farm here in Maiduguri, called the Kasoishanu. And then this route links to Cameroon Republic, Chad, and then Niger. The route is already there. There are feedlots.
Okay.
So there is a very specialized arrangement in the 70s for the movement of these particular cattle, control movement, so that there will be no conflict of herders and farmers.
Right.
So that particular place has a lot of markings and poles. So, for example, Chad does not allow a certain breed of cattle to move into Nigeria. It's called the Ambala breed.
Hmm.
They never allow Ambala to come because that particular cattle can produce a lot of milk.
Oh.
If fed well, can give you up to 16 to 20 liters of milk per day. So oh. The government of Chad is monopolizing that particular business. You understand? So if we say, ask more people to go into ranching, most people have their businesses, and then there will be a gray market. That gray market has a very serious bad effect on the economy also.
Mm.
For example, in China, during COVID, bicycle manufacturers left their businesses into max production. Then you can imagine somebody that is into plastic production also swing into max. And then the gray market was over $50 billion dollars.
Mm.
And this has seriously affected their economy in the long run.
Mm.
So there are, of course, limited cattle rearers. There are a limited number of cattle. And this particular thing is a living thing. So you cannot multiply the effects of their own reproduction so easily as you thought. Of course, a lot of people can go into ranching, but this doesn't change the total number of cattle that will have reproduced. Even if I didn't go into the business, there would somebody. If I buy it from somebody, I'm just reducing the numbers of cattle from somebody.
Mm.
If they are together with him, they'll also reproduce. So you see, it's not as a reproducing shoes or bags, but remultiplying the number of that particular cattle is not as easy as you thought.
So if we say that we want to ban it, will it stop people from importing Moroccan leather, Italian leather, all of those types of leathers? Will anything change eventually?
Well, actually, you see, Nigerian government has to take a very robust plan with their own policy. They should adopt the Sudanian method of doing business. You see, in Sudan, you cannot export raw ground, unprocessed granite out of the country. The government has banned because they also want to control their seed. Because if people take the seed and produce in their country, they will no longer patronize the allied products of the peanut of Sudan.
Mm.
So Nigeria have to adopt this type of policy that, one, they should export, but they should ban the importation of processed leather products.
Okay.
They should take, like, for example, 70% for export, 30% for domestic leather industry, and then Nigeria should be forced to patronize their own products, shoes, bags, belts, resource band and other leather jacket and so many other leather products in the country while they export, and then their economies will be boosted. It's just like taking tax from people. The government is taking away from the people what is it will be used to save them out of trouble. If Nigeria increase her export, the dollar value will seriously come down, and Nigeria will Nigerian currency will regain its own strength with all its glory gradually. I think that's the way forward, banning the consumption of that form. But I'll do a very great thing to the country. And now with the AfCFTA agreement,
yeah,
the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, Nigeria can export to Morocco and other. There is a trade agreement that allows the free movement of goods
right
within the African continental countries.
Right. Engineer Abacha Ali Jarawa, General Manager of Borno Plastic Company, thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning. It's been quite enlightening. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Mm. That's our show today, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you all for being a part of it. Appreciate it. I hope that we've been able to bring some enlightenment to this conversation this morning. We'll have the audio on our website any moment from now, so you can go listen to it again. Our website is nigeriainfo.fm. You can go listen to, you know, the podcast on our website. You can also check out the podcast on all podcast streaming platforms, if it's the iTunes, the Spotify, the Google Podcast. You can get all our shows on all of these podcasts. Before I go, though, let me announce the winner of the treasure hunt. Your name is Olomola Ezekiel. You are the first to have found and completed the entire process of treasure hunt this morning. Like I said, in October, we're bringing a new, different dimension to the game show here on Nigeria Info. We're playing three different games in a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, right? You'll be testing your capabilities on different areas. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be really, really, really fun. I'm Sherif Quadri. You can find me on social media. Sherif Quadri on Facebook, Sherif Quadri on Twitter, Sherif Quadri on Instagram. Follow me, let's interact. In the meantime, Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu is next. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Bye for now.